Call, please, Caroline.
President Guerrero.
Present.
Vice President Lucy.
Present.
Director Angelo.
Here.
Director Hurdle.
Here.
Director Searcy.
If we could go to item number 3, the flag salute.
Ready? Begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Moving on to agenda item number 4, agenda review. We'll review the order of business and receive requests to change or make announcements. I will announce that as to items 10C and 10D, those are the Wallace presentations. He was unavailable tonight as he had a prior calendar commitment. So I think we'll reschedule those. We'll confirm his availability and reschedule those for the next meeting or maybe the meeting after, depending on his availability. Also, I would like to propose that items 9C and D, which are the report of OCSD operations and board of directors, be moved to after items 10A and 10B, which are the presentations by the fire chief. Does there anybody have any issue with that? Okay. Are there any other amendments or changes proposed to the agenda?
Just one question.
Yes.
For the committee assignments that mm-hmm. the county needs a letter for, do we just should just go to staff for that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. All right. Do I have a motion to approve as the agenda as modified?
I move that we accept the agenda with the modifications.
I'll second.
All right. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries 4-0. Moving on to item number 5, public comment. Manager Gieselin, are there any public comments this evening?
Yes, we have Linda Austin, please.
All right. Good evening.
Good evening. I'm Linda Austin, and I'm here about the Oceano Depot. I just want to let everyone know that next Saturday, the May 19th, a week from this Saturday, we're having a big fundraiser at the depot. It's called a Hobo Bash. We're going to celebrate the culture of the colorful culture of the life on the rails. I don't know if it's, but anyway, it's gonna be a lot of fun. There'll be prizes. We have live music. We have guys with a four-piece guitar, but drums are going to be playing old train songs and country music and things. And we're going to be serving the usual hobo stew and historical places in the county that restoration. And so the Oceano Depot is going to be receiving a restoration award for all the work that we've done in preserving the history in Oceano, so we're real proud of that.
That's great.
And what's the date on that again?
May 19th.
No, the award.
June 10th. So.
Which is a Sunday.
Anyway,
like,
if you want to have a lot of fun and support the depot, that's May 19th is the time you want to come on down.
And which time? At what time on the 19th?
2:00 it starts.
And I think it's $20?
$25.
$25, okay.
You get a meal and soft drinks, and then there is a social hour.
Great.
So. And music and trains and a lot of other fun things. So thank you.
Thank you very much, Ms. Austin.
I'll have these here. I'll leave some here if anybody would like to.
Thank you. Is there any other public comment, Manager Gieselin?
I'm not at this time.
All right. Moving on to item number 6, review and approval of minutes. Is there any public comment on the minutes?
No, there's none.
Is there any board comment? I just had a question on the item number 9. It said Director Lucy was it Saturday, April 28th, there will be a march against women?
Probably.
I didn't know if that was a typo. I didn't recall if that was a march for women or march against women.
No, it's the movement is the war on women.
Okay.
Yes, Mr. Gieselin?
I'm just apologize for letting that slip through.
So should it say a march against the war on women? Is that what it should say?
No, it should say a march. I don't know how it should say. it's a campaign called the War on Women.
Okay.
So the march would be titled the War on Women. I don't know how to phrase it. It's because of current legislation and stuff like that. So it's a national situation.
So are you okay with the way the answer went?
I'm fine with it.
Okay.
I'm sure nobody else would have issue.
Is there any other public comment regarding
And I can't hear because there's too much talking happening way back there.
Are there any other comments? Is there a motion to approve?
I'll make a motion that we approve the agenda as received.
I'll second that.
All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Is there any abstains? Okay, motion carries 4-0.
I do have some questions related to your report. Your bylaws, item 1.6 of your bylaws, says that expenditures over $5,000 would be approved by the board. There's an expenditure to our baker for $6,690. I was curious if that particular item had been approved by your board. It's kind of nondescript on what actually went on for those services. And then, I'm sorry, I'm having some trouble with your public microphone. The item related to Hall, Hyatt, and Conley, there's, in your report, it calls out the expenses relative to some questions that I raised and some questions that Ms. Naylor has raised with regard to the district and the legal counsel's research and time is charged to the district for those questions or answers. What I'm confused a little bit about is last week I requested some documents, one of them being the invoices from Hall, Hyatt, and Connolly, and I got this particular invoice. And your staff took the time to redact Ms. Naylor's questions from my copy to protect her. But here, your other staff, or maybe the same staff, calls her out as a cost to the district. I don't think you can embarrass Giselle Naylor. You're not going to embarrass me. What you're doing is your staff is spending time adding up the bills in the invoice just to post it this way, to draw attention to our right as citizens to ask questions of your board, your staff, and your procedures. So those are my two concerns regarding tonight's warrants.
Manager Gieselin, is there any other public comment regarding
that? None at this time.
Moving on to item 8, are there any board member comments at this time? I'll start at the end there. Director Angelo, do you have any board member comments this evening?
No, not right now.
Director Hurdle?
None, thank you.
Vice President Lucy?
Nope.
All right, and I'll pass in the interest of time. Moving on to item number 9A, report of Seraph South Station Commander Jim Taylor. Good evening, Jim.
Good evening. Since I last briefed you, we've had some events that have occurred. Some of it's good, some of it's bad. All right, here we are. Our station investigator, Deputy Trevor McKim, was assigned to investigate a case involving a number of check forgeries. The check forgeries had victimized both businesses and residents located throughout the South County area. During the course of his investigation, he learned that this was actually a ring of individuals that were involved in the forgeries. Trevor identified 6 suspects involved. He collected evidence against them, subsequently arrested them. 2 of the 6 have pled guilty and received jail sentences, and the other 4 are awaiting trial. So it was a pretty... started out as a small case, and then as victims became aware we were investigating, we started getting more and more checks, more and more counts against the defendants, and we've brought the case to a successful conclusion at this point anyway. April 22nd at 1:56 in the morning, Deputy Chad Guyton and his partner John Pinafore were patrolling Oceano when they saw a vehicle parked next to Hayashi's vegetable stand on Highway 1. They thought it was a little odd, the vehicle being parked there that time of night, so they checked the vehicle and they found a number of items that appeared to have come from inside the business. When they checked the business, they found a man by the name of Arthur Groesberg of Arroyo Grande inside burglarizing it. They arrested Mr. Groesberg for burglary, and then they found a quantity of methamphetamine in his vehicle when they went to search that. On the night of May 6th, the deputies discovered fresh graffiti. You may have seen some of it along Highway 1 going out towards Halcyon Road. There was fresh graffiti painted on vehicles, street signs, bridge overpasses. The deputies sort of followed this trail of graffiti all the way down to Napomo, where they found some on the Thompson 101 overpass. As they continue to check, held accountable, and we're working with our SAVP in getting the graffiti cleaned up for those areas that we can get it cleaned up. The two items that we have had on May 1st that I want to report are two residential burglaries. The first occurred in the 2200 block of Paso Robles Street, and the second was in the 1400 block of 24th Street. Both of these burglaries occurred during the daytime hours. There were televisions and other electronics that were stolen. We do have some information that we're following up on, but if anybody in the community has any information about these burglaries that occurred on May 1st, if they could call us at the South Station at 473-7100, it would be a big help to get these cleared up as well. And that's the end of the report.
Thank you, Commander Taylor. Does anybody have any questions?
I have a quick question. On the forgeries, were they getting it out of the mailboxes? Because that's what happened to me, is that you know how the credit card companies send you those damn checks, right? Mm-hmm. You tell them not to, but they do it anyway. And then, you know, then the drug addict around the corner goes down the street and collects everybody's mail and gets all the checks.
And that's exactly.
Unfortunately, the women in the bank were the ones who said that's not Mary,
right?
You know, because they go in and open an account.
And that's typically how they get their foot in the door. They'll either steal mail that's coming to you, or a lot of folks put mail out the night before, mailing their bills, and they'll go and empty these mailboxes. Well, now I've got a name and I've got a verifiable account number, and then they'll use computer equipment and a check writing program and simply print up their own blanks with your name, your information. It doesn't even have to be your name. If it's just a verifiable account number at a real bank, they'll do that, and then they'll start running these checks until somebody figures it out and closes the account.
I think the problem that I had is that the same person had been arrested for the same mm-hmm. crime three times before, had three hots and a cot for 18 months each time, right? And she kept getting out, and it was literally a fundraiser for her. You know, and she had UPS trucks and FedEx trucks coming to her house.
And I'm not I don't know specifically the criminal history of the four defendants who have not pled. I do know from discussions with Deputy McKim that they're facing 6 years in prison. So I can only guess they've probably done it before. That, coupled with the amount of the loss, is what's affecting their potential sentence.
Thank you. If there's no other questions, thank you, Commander.
In the month of April, we had 56 incidents or calls for service for Station 61 here, the bulk of which were medical in nature. We did have one structure fire that occurred in the city of Arroyo Grande. It was food left on the stove. Engine 61, I believe, was first on scene, forced entry, and discovered the problem and took care of it rather quickly. The rest were good, intense, hazardous conditions without any fire and that sort of thing. So that's our monthly report. Unless there's any questions, I'll go on into our presentation on the five cities. Okay, thank you. Do you have the report in your packet? Because I have extra copies here if you don't.
Yeah, we have.
Okay.
We have the report dated May 9th from yourself regarding the presentation of past, present, and future delivery of fire protection services.
Yes.
One? Yes, okay.
I do have copies of the slide presentation if you would like that also.
I think so. Maybe we could have one left at the district when you're done.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Chief, do you want the lights off for the presentation, or what's your preference?
It's up to you.
Okay. I'll leave it up to AGP because they're the ones that are trying to catch it. Okay. They said they're good.
Thank you, sir.
Okay. We put this report together to clarify and to educate different groups, civic groups, and boards such as yourself, as to the history of how the Five Cities Fire Authority came to be, where we're at presently, and where we may wish to go in the future. Personally, I've been on the job almost 3 months now, and when I'm out in the community, if I go into a Subway sandwich shop for lunch or something, and I have my uniform on, they will look at me and they say, well, you're a PISMO police officer, and so you get the PISMO police officer discount. And I say, well, thank you very much, but I'm not a police officer. I'm with the fire department. And they say, oh, well, you're with Cal Fire. And I say, no, I'm not with Cal Fire. I'm with Five Cities Fire Authority. And I get this deer in the headlights, administrative duties of the fire chief as well as the training captain. And they entered into a joint agreement for that. 3 years later, they updated that agreement and created the position of battalion chief. They took that training captain and made a battalion chief position out of it. And they also expanded the agreement to include the sharing of reserve firefighters as well as apparatus. In 2008, the Oceano Community Services District included themselves in that agreement, and again, we shared fire chiefs and reserve firefighter services. In 2009, all three entities approved a process to go into a joint powers authority with a target date of July 1st of 2010. And then, of course, on July 9th of 2010, that JPA was formed, and the Five Cities Fire Authority came into existence. So, as I say, we've only been an organization less than 2 years, and I think we have a bit of an identity crisis, as I've just explained to you. We had a strategic planning group meet this morning. And we talked about branding, we talked about marketing, the best ways to do that and to come up with a strategy to get our brand out there and to market ourselves so people within the authority understand exactly who we are and who we provide services to. Now, when we started talking about the consolidation of the three separate entities, we have to go back to 2003 when we had three distinct entities here. And you can see that the number of firefighters on duty in Oceano, Grover Beach, and Arroyo Grande were 2, 3, and 3, the same as it is today. So staffing with firefighters has remained the same since 2003. Where we have streamlined the organization and had cost savings is in other personnel, staff personnel, reserve firefighters, as well as apparatus. But you can see in 2003 there was a total of 14.3 people working daily between the three entities. Now we move to 2004 when Arroyo Grande duty and one battalion chief, but we have dropped a couple of more positions at the staff level here, and we've reduced that number down to 12 now. So we have streamlined the operation, again, through staff positions, not through firefighters on the street. Some of the efficiencies that we've gained by forming the Five Cities Fire Authority: we have reduced costs, as I said, through the reduction of administrative personnel. We've reduced it 2.3 positions. Also a fleet reduction. We have when we were three separate entities, each entity needed its own reserve apparatus. That need went away when we formed the authority, so we have sold off equipment. And we've also reduced our reserve firefighting force from 60 individuals down to 30. And there's a cost savings there in equipping them and training them and that sort of thing. Also, by forming the authority, we have increased our service levels. We have more of a boundary drop at this time, so we're better able to get the closest piece of equipment to your doorstep when you dial 911. And we are beginning to benchmark ourselves against the National Fire Protection Association number 1720, which is a standard, and I will go over that a little bit later in the presentation. And the other thing is we have reduced our response times. We have looked at our call history since the beginning of the formation of the authority, and right now we can get to your doorstep within 4 minutes 51% of the time, and that's, we just looked at EMS calls to this point. We haven't broken it down into fire calls yet, but 51% of the time, from the time you hang up the phone until we're at your doorstep, we're there within 4 minutes 51% of the time. You can see that the area that we service in the three different colors between Arroyo Grande, Grover, and Oceano, we protect approximately 38,000 residents in about 9.5 square miles. Now, our staffing, we talked about that a little bit. Here at the Oceano Station, or Station 61, we have a force of two. We have a captain in the red helmet, which is a fully paid professional firefighter, and we have one reserve firefighter on the apparatus as well. We try to staff that reserve firefighter who is certified as a driver operator, so he can drive the engine, and our fully paid professional firefighters, and the reserve firefighter again acts as the firefighter on that piece of equipment. And when I say fully paid and professional, I just mean they're fully paid. That our firefighters are as professional as any. We hold them to the same standards as any fully paid firefighter throughout the state. They do a tremendous job for us. And Station 68 in Grover Beach, again, has a staffing of three, a captain, an engineer, and a reserve firefighter. And their call volume was 1,076 calls for service in 2011. So that is the eight firefighters that make up the authority today, just as it did when it was three individual entities way back when. Here it shows our call volume for 2011. It's 3,151 calls, and you can see the bulk of our work is medical in nature. Now, I talked a little bit about NFPA, or the National Fire Protection Association, Standard 1720. That is a standard. It is something that we may or may not choose to follow. NFPA has many standards out there that we choose to follow some, we choose not to follow others. That is each jurisdiction's right whether they choose to follow that or not. And compare that to a statutory requirement such as the OSHA two-in, two-out requirement. That is law. We have to follow that. We have no choice in that. But when we benchmark, we can benchmark against a standard. And NFPA 1720 is a national standard that we can benchmark ourselves against and compare ourselves to any other combination fire department throughout the U.S. Now, as part of best practices that I think it's prudent for us to follow, this 1720 states that we need to assemble 14 firefighters at the scene of a fire within 9 minutes of dispatch 90% of the time. And these numbers weren't just pulled out of the air. They're based on the characteristics of how fire burns and how quickly the fire grows in nature, and also the time that it takes for that fire to get to a point to where it's no longer confined to the room of origin. Cal OSHA, or Federal OSHA also, they have the two-in, two fighters. They do not have to wait for that second arriving company to give them the four complement. They can go ahead and make entrance into that structure, do a search, remove the victim, but once they find the victim or find nobody, they have to back out of the house and wait for that backup crew before they can go back inside. If we arrive on scene and they say everybody is out, we cannot make entry into that house until we have that two-out crew there. So it makes it a little more difficult for us to when we have to wait for somebody before we can make entrance and put a fire out. Another best practice is establishing a reasonable schedule, meeting our local needs for the replacement of our fire apparatus, the maintenance of our buildings and equipment. Currently, we have no line item in our budget to do so. If we had to replace a piece of equipment tomorrow, it would be very difficult for us to come up with the money necessary to do that. We have been fortunate. We've purchased a couple of apparatus with federal grant money, but we certainly can't rely on that as a long-term strategy to replace our equipment. Under the AFG grant, or the Assistance to Firefighters grant last year at the federal level, we wrote a grant asking for a new engine here at Oceano, and we were turned down for that. That AFG grant process is coming up again this year. We may ask for another piece of equipment, but we were refused one time. I don't know that we're going to go back to that same thing. We'll probably come up with something else to write a grant for. The next best practice is the establishment of consistent fire prevention practices throughout the authority. Currently, we serve three distinct entities. We have three distinct rules for weed abatement. We have three distinct sets of rules for fireworks enforcement. We have different code amendments that have been adopted by the three different entities, and yet it's all enforced by us in the authority. It makes it a little bit difficult when somebody on one side of the street is doing something that is illegal, when the person on this side of the street is doing exactly the same thing, but he is legal because of the different rules. We would like to establish a fire prevention officer throughout the authority so it is all the same. And then finally, the consolidation goes between Grover and Arroyo Grande Police Departments. Before we make our next move as to how we're going to consolidate dispatch. Now, should we choose to benchmark against 1720 and get those 14 firefighters on the fire ground within 9 minutes, we have to look at our first alarm assignment. And currently, we have our 8 personnel at the three stations, plus our battalion chief, for a total of 9 personnel responding to that emergency. I think we can get all three of those pieces of equipment on scene within 9 minutes, so that's not a problem, but we need to get the full 14 within 9 minutes. So how we do that is through automatic aid with CAL FIRE, and we have Station 64 crew, where they're usually staffed with 3-0, and they respond from Pismo Beach. And then we have the Napomo crew from Station 22, and they're staffed with 2. And with those two pieces of equipment, we now have our 14 firefighters on the fire ground. Problem with that is the distances that those two pieces of equipment have to travel in order to get there. Station 64 up here on Bello in Pismo, you can see it's just to the city limits of Grover and Arroyo, to the northernmost city limits. They're 2.42 miles, or 4 minutes in emergency run from the city limits. Station 22 down in Napomo has to travel 5.85 road miles to the southern limit of our district, of our authority. And that takes 8 minutes in a red lights and siren. So you can see, just to get to the city limits, that Napomo station is almost to the limit of that 9 minutes right there. If we have to get into town anywhere, just by the sheer distance that they have to drive, they cannot make it in 9 minutes. So what would we have to do in order to meet 1720? Well, we're still going to rely on CAL FIRE on an automatic aid agreement, with that Station 64, since they're the closest with their three personnel. But what we would have to do is to add two more personnel to our staff, put a fourth person at Station 66, and a third person, preferably an engineer, here at the Oceano Station this time. And when I saw this number, I was thinking, that can't be right, because we're dispatching two automatic aid engines to every single structure fire. We should have the 14 firefighters 100% of the time on scene, but yet we don't. And come to find out, what is happening with dispatch is Station 64 will come into the fire. Station 22, by policy, is staging at Oak Park. And they're there to cover the authorities' district because we have no resources left to do so. But it doesn't make sense to me that an engine would sit there when we know we have an emergency and we have a need for them. Rather, we should bring them into the emergency and use them rather than have them sit back and wait for a call that may or may not occur. So I think we can meet these numbers much greater than 21% of the time just by changing dispatch policy and really not having to spend any money. When we talked about apparatus replacement as a best practice, we came up with our Gantt chart here, and you can see that Engine 61 was manufactured in 1996, making it 16 years old this year, and it really needs to be replaced. We have looked at our apparatus, and we have felt that a 16-year replacement for frontline engines is prudent. We think it works with our call volume and our demographics here. So Engine 61 is ready to be replaced. You can also see that one of the chief vehicles is a 2001, and our Rescue 68 is a 2001. Patrol 61 here is a 2002, and because of its use on the beach and on the sand, it really needs to be replaced in 2014 or a year after the coming year. So you can see we have three apparatus that really need to be replaced in a very short order and no line item to do that. So that's going to be a real need for the authority in the very, very near future. And the last slide I have is fire prevention needs. We take care of all public education requests. We do all the fire alarm monitoring systems in the authority. We do business inspections. And as I say, we do all the weed abatement and firework safety. We would like to do that under one roof with one person. And I think they do have the capability. They have upgraded their systems, but without computers in our rigs, it really doesn't do any good. So we're looking at either state Homeland Security grant money or, again, perhaps an AFG grant to get computers into our rigs. We can equip them with what we term an AVL system, an automatic vehicle locator, that transmits the GPS location of these engines no matter what their location. And the dispatcher at the console can see exactly where that engine is. You know, they could tell the speed it's moving down the road, if it's moving or not. And with the CAD system and the AVL system, we can truly have a boundary drop throughout the authority. Whenever a resident picks up and dials 911 and requests a piece of equipment, the CAD will recognize the closest unit to that location and will recommend that unit and dispatch it. And that's an area that we need to get to. And again, we need a consolidated dispatch center before we can take that next step into this system. Both Grover and Arroyo Grande, they have COPS grants that they upgraded their equipment with, and we'll be seeking grant money to upgrade our equipment as well. So hopefully we'll be able to move into this consolidated dispatch within the next grant cycle, either state or federal. That concludes the presentation on the history of the five cities. So with that, I'll entertain any questions that you may have.
I'll defer to you. Guys want to start, Selma or
no.
George Angela?
On the dispatch consolidation, how close are you to even getting that underway?
Well, we have the groundwork laid with the police departments. Like I say, they are upgrading their systems to include a FireCAD module. That was part of their COPS grant money that they used to put the fire module in there. They simply have to turn it on. But once they turn it on, we need the computers on our end. So like I say, we will be going after grant money sooner rather than later to try to complete that system.
Okay, so right now you have two dispatch centers. I'm sorry. Is the intent to get two dispatchers in one location so they're not...
The authority, so we would be talking to one dispatch center.
Okay.
Questions?
Can I talk to you a little bit about your grant writer? Do you have somebody who's designated on staff, or do you have a consultant who's very familiar? Because, you know, grants are kind of tricky, and you have to know the entity that you're applying to and basically know them on a personal level almost a lot of times to be successful. And a lot of times it's matching grants, mm-hmm. you know, so which is a little tricky when you're dealing with a JPA. I mean, you can do them with MOUs and stuff like that, and a lot of funders will prefer collaborations such as JPAs as yourself. So can I ask you a little bit more about that division? I'd like to call it a division because it probably would be one of your more valuable assets.
It is, you're correct. And we do have an administrative assistant on staff. It is a permanent part-time position. It's a 32-hour position. But that individual does write our grants, and he gets help from station personnel also. But we have been successful in the past with grants. The 100-foot aerial that the authority has was purchased on an AFG grant in 2010. Like I say, last year we were turned down for the engine for Arroyo Grande because the fleet was, they said, too new. We have submitted another SAFER grant last year. We have survived the first round of cuts. So that's a good sign. We have not heard anything positive from them other than the fact that we haven't been rejected yet. There is another pot of money through the state Homeland Security grants that is not matching. And so, I've been lobbying county chiefs and that sort of thing to, if there is fallout money this year, I would like to get my hands on some of it to get the computers into the apparatus. If we're not successful there, then it could be an AFG grant. But yes, we do have somebody that is very good at that, to answer your question. We do not pay a consultant to do our grant writing for us.
I actually worked for a funder, so, every funding institution does things differently, whether you're accepted or not accepted. You either get an award letter, horrific typos and repetitiveness and no, it was not funded. I just wanted to bring that up to make sure that, you know, people understand how important that is.
Director Lucy also has experience doing that. Are you volunteering to?
Yeah, I would volunteer. I have volunteered for many, many years to do that. And I live with a ruthless editor.
And I feel much as you do. What comes out of our office represents us, mm-hmm. and it needs to be professional.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm.
Director Angela, I'm sorry, Director Lister,
go ahead.
Director Angela actually hit on my main thing, and that was the consolidated dispatch. We had, that was on last year's agenda with the police, and I think they had some turf wars or something, and they didn't know where it was going to be. So one of my suggestions, and I should have probably run this by our manager, Gieslin, before I say it, but, you know, we send out billings every other month, and perhaps at the bottom of the billing we could have something like proudly served by the Five Cities Fire Authority and a logo, just in a tagline. All of our constituents see it, you know, when they pay their bill, it raises awareness. And if the other communities did that as well, it would give some repetition and some branding, I think, to the Five Cities Fire Authority. Free marketing, yeah. We're already sending it out. It doesn't require any extra effort.
That would be terrific. Or if we had our
logo.
On there someplace. But as I stated, we have had our initial meeting with the strategic planning group, and when we get our plan together for marketing, I would like to see us have our, not logo, but our slogan that we will come up with, whatever that may be, and we could use something like that along with our logo at the bottom. That would be terrific.
I don't think it wouldn't cost us any money, I don't think, to do that, and it's already going out, but we can talk about it.
We'll look into it and see what we can do.
Yeah. So, Chief, just for my clarification, the purpose of the presentation this evening is to provide us with the history of the five cities, joint authority, and to give us an idea of where you would like to see it go in the future. I'm excited to hear that you are anticipating using grants, but also this is also part of the desire to present to the people the opportunity to vote on the fire suppression issue so we can gain some of these positions, the two positions.
Firefighters calendar is going to come out.
I think I just got thrown under the bus.
We're just teasing. Can you talk to me a little bit about the beach buggy, or I mean the beach truck? Uh-huh. You said that that one was ready for replacement. Now,
yes.
I do remember when that first came up in the state and Oceano collaborating on that. And, you know, I kind of felt like Oceano got the short end of the stick on that one. I have been very vocal about that all along because state bought the truck. We put all the time and everything else into it. So would you be negotiating with State Parks and Recs regarding a new facility, a new apparatus, as you guys call them, out there? And also, too, is when that was originally done, there was no money put in for any way to support that piece of equipment. So Oceano had to pay for that as well. Now, that's a state beach. It's not the beach of Oceano as much as we like to think it is. You know, I just thought that we could have done a better job in the cost of running out there to help the vacationers who don't know how to recreate. That's a direct quote from the state parks.
Well, again, I feel much as you do. I've had a meeting with personnel from state parks and voiced my concern that, yes, we were able to get this apparatus through state monies, but because it responds onto the dunes and there's a lot of salt and whatnot, it's about ready to have the entire front end rebuilt on that piece of equipment, which there is no money to do that. We probably should go out and purchase another rig. And so my statement to State Parks was, you know, we have to look for a funding source to replace this apparatus, and not only replace it, but to maintain it. It is a cost to the authority to maintain that piece of equipment. I know when the guys go out on the dunes, it's not just a matter of going out there and taking care of the call and coming back and parking that piece of equipment. It's at least an hour underneath it, trying to wash all the sand and salt off of it so we can extend its life and useful lifespan from it. So it
geographic areas, because that beach in itself is an area all in itself. So you have Rio Grande, Grover Beach, Oceano, and the state beach.
Yes.
So I would put that in your document.
Okay.
Okay.
Go ahead.
President, no. Okay. The presentation, excuse me, does come with recommended action. Mm-hmm. And at this point, how do we want to proceed?
Make a laundry list or make a motion?
Yeah. You know, I would like to make a motion that we...
Thelma, hang on. I don't know what recommended action, but Lori probably needs to recuse herself. Mm-hmm. This one and leave the room. If there's any action discussed, I'm not sure.
I think this one was information. Yeah.
This is an action on
The only thing I was going to... should I...
Lori probably should.
Okay.
Discussion. If you're going to vote on anything, Lori, okay. Related to the fire department, right. Lori probably should leave the
room. No, but we're, but no, it's discussion.
Not I'm not, oh, not proposing. Yeah.
It's just discussion.
I'm.
I don't know what it is. So it's
well, why don't you spit it out there, and then we'll see if
there's any voting on fire department, something you should probably leave.
What I would like to see happen is this be placed on next month's agenda for further discussion and vote for direction. Give us some time to think about it.
So the proposal is two new staff? What is the proposed?
Lori, I think you need to...
Director Angelos.
Okay, the proposal on the side of
okay, for the record, Director Angelos recusing
so
herself.
So you're proposing two new staff, correct? And 1.5 apparatuses.
I'm putting out there, if the board says we want to start benchmarking towards 17-20.
Okay.
And not only the numbers, but the time frame. That is how we can meet the time frame.
Okay.
Now, if that's what the board, you know, the fire authority board wishes to do, then that's the path we will take. I think what perhaps you're looking for is giving staff, me, direction, or your staff to work with the fire authority board in order to come up with a best practices to meet the needs of the authority.
I think the best suggestion for tonight would be to direct our staff to work with your staff to figure out what that is, to come back with recommendations.
Several things.
It may just mean keep doing what you're doing, Tom.
Say it again.
It may just mean to keep doing what you're doing.
Yeah.
We support it, and we appreciate the.
Yeah.
It's important that at one point our board does make a decision to give direction to move forward in this, because this is a joint effort between Grover Beach, Arroyo Grande, and Oceano. Mm-hmm. And Grover Beach has already signed up, and the sooner we get a full board decision, then the sooner we can move forward with the process that the chief wants to proceed with.
And if you could just clarify for me what support, what they want to move forward on is what I'm a little confused on. So, yeah, I support, you know, the engine. I'd have to be convinced on the state parks.
All right.
The grants, I'm in support of. Two new staff coming up with a plan on how to get that, which I think it should be a
and
calendar.
And that's exactly what it is.
You know. So, I'm not sure how to move it forward.
Right. Okay. Moving it forward would allow the fire authority, the chief, to come up with an avenue where we could find the funding to supply the needs that he has outlined in the presentation today. The staffing for the two in, two out, the fire suppression, meeting the fire suppression within the 9 minutes, the acquiring of the apparatus that's needed along with the maintenance. It will also be the position for the fire marshal and the preventative, you know, teaching. It's all encompassing.
But if I understand, Director Lucy, the question is tonight specifically, we don't have direction than... to keep, you know, keep the lines of communication open, have staff keep working with the fire authority.
Exactly, but eventually we have to come to a point where we will make a decision to discuss and then take a vote on whether we support moving forward with this, so JPA can really get a handle on.
Like that, Director Angelo has recused herself from this item 10B as well.
Right.
Thank you, Chief.
Okay, thank you. Again, in an effort to consolidate fire prevention efforts, we have a captain at Station 68 that takes care of all the fire alarm, fire sprinkler plans, all the fire code requirements for Grover, and we've also asked him now to start doing that for Oceano. So we have one point of contact for those two entities. And in doing so, we want to, again, consolidate the types of forms that we're using. So, again, it's cleaner. It's one set of forms. So before you are four sets of forms, one of which that you're pretty much using right now. But all four of them. One, the first is the frequently asked questions form for the community of Oceano. This will be placed at the San Luis Obispo County Building Department and will be given to builders or developers to help answer their questions of what they need to do, when, and how. The second is a fire safety plan application, which this is the form that looks much like what we're using now. We have expanded it to put a remarks section because as it stands now, if a person has a let's say two projects on a single piece of property, they have to file two forms. We don't think that's necessary. With a comments section, we can take care of replacing those two forms with just the single form. This form allows any project to be tracked by address, assessor parcel number, the OCSD project number, or the San Luis Obispo County project number. So we can track it one of four different ways here. The third form is the water service verification or fire flow information that we need to use to verify fire sprinkler systems. They have to be calculated out with a particular amount of water, and we can do this through the verification fire flow information form. And the fourth form is the inspection record or the permit form. And this will, again, help us to track the inspections and also serves as the permit that will have to be signed off by our fire marshal for this area or provide other direction to staff.
Julie Tackers just reminded me that Lori did not state her conflict, and I'm sorry, I kind of assumed everybody knew. But she should probably come back in and state for the record what her conflict is.
Do we have to do it right now? Can we do it afterwards? After he finishes his presentation?
Point of
it. Yeah, I thought he was done. I'm sorry, I thought you were going to vote on it. But yeah,
no, we haven't done public comment yet either on it, so we're not ready to
vote. At some point, I mean, she did leave the room. She does need to state what her conflict is.
Okay, that's fine. I'm sorry, Chief.
That really concludes my presentation on this. I'll entertain questions.
I do have a question. The presentation, have you presented this yet to Roy Grandy and Grover Beach?
Grover Beach is using something similar.
Okay.
Arroyo Grande has their own system
with
their building official, as I said. So this goes from, takes us from three sets of forms down to two.
Okay.
And if we can move along in fire prevention down the road, we can get to
make it easy. And as far as Grover Beach, did they agree or affirm that they would use these particular forms?
Yes.
Okay. So we're the last one or the second one.
Director Guerrero, you have to remember they both have their own planning departments.
Correct.
And our planning departments are the county. And so these forms will eliminate any disconnect and allow our staff to provide as much information as possible. So when we go through the permitting process that it's more streamlined and we don't get 23 questions when we come across these issues.
Sure. Are there any other questions from the board?
Well, I was just a little curious on some of these things since I kind of had to go, you know, look at some plans that forgot to put some lighting into an entire track. But so I look at, like, fireplace installation. Are you sure you trust people to put a fireplace in without having it inspected? Or would that fall under the county?
The county will inspect it.
Okay, so these are just things you're not going to do.
Correct.
Okay, great. Because I was looking, going, gosh, somebody has to be watching.
Right.
Okay, I'm fine with this.
Director Hurdle, do you have any questions for the
no,
chief?
No, I don't.
All right.
You.
Thank you, Chief. Should we go to public comment at this point? Or should
we have
Director Angela come
but
in?
But I don't have any public comment. But
okay, let's have Director Angela come in. Marie, will you get Director Ansel so she can state her conflict?
Here, go away.
Thank you, Director Angelo. And again, Manager Gieslin, there's no public comment request
there's
on this.
There's no public
okay.
comment.
Do I have a motion, or is there any other board discussion on this?
I move that we accept the recommendations from the Five Cities Fire Authority on the three forms that will be consolidated and used.
Do I have a second?
I second.
All right. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All, any opposed? Motion carries 3-0.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chief.
Thank you, Chief.
Would you guys like to take a break at this time, or you want to power through?
That'd be great.
All right. I hear two people requesting breaks. Why don't we go till 10 minutes to 8? It is 7:43 at this time. Six p.m. We had previously skipped over items 9C and 9D, so why don't we go back to item 9C, report of OCSD operations. Manager Gieslin.
I apologize for my voice. I've been fighting something for about 5 days, but anyways, the most recent updates with the district are as follows. The 2008-2009 audit restatement is in its final review. We received the new report. We're double-checking the numbers. We've responded to the findings, and I will be giving you the final copy for that at the next meeting. At that time, we'll make the journal entry so we can complete 910. It'll go back to Caliber Audit and Test for final close, and then I'll also have an update for you on 1011, which is a move to complete and close. In the field, we've been doing a water audit because I spoke to you about some of the problems that we've had with what we think we have out there versus what we actually have out there. The boys in the field completed all the physical inventory of every connection that we have throughout the whole district. And now we are cross-checking it to the internal files in the accounting system to make sure that everything is tied. Priority item, they did it on top of what else they did. So it was a major accomplishment, and they worked their tails off, and you should be proud of them. So.
Thank you.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you.
I've reported previously that we have district policies and procedures in review. That's before the Personnel Committee, and we are getting ready to release a draft for board and public review, and that'll also take place at the next meeting. We have some changes to make and a couple clarifications to make, but other than that, it was good work, and District Council got that to us on 4/20 like she promised she would, and we are making changes as we speak. Yesterday... Well, actually, it started a couple weeks ago. I had a phone call conversation with Chuck Stevenson in county planning, and he informed me that the county, along with Caltrans, is issuing a grant for $162,000, which will be used to plan a development for Front Street. So I attended a meeting with a consultant yesterday, and then they had a public meeting here, meeting with Barbara Mann and Linda Austin and Marie and Dan, because we've noticed that in the past, people at the top have known things, but when it comes time to do that, so with both Marie and Dan in management now, we are going to do things in parallel so that everybody gets the whole story. Should some of us move on to different pastures, there'll at least be the accurate history involvement of a management team in the district, just not just one person. So I'd also like to thank Supervisor Paul Teixeira for providing emphasis to the county on looking at Oceano's problems and working with Oceano's problems. Director Hurdle was also in attendance in that public workshop meeting, and I'll let her speak to that when it's her turn to go to that. The sense is that because the county knows we're starting to clean up our books, and because of Oceano's economic status, we are wide open for receiving money to improve this place. Mm-hmm. And as I told you, my plan, that one of the things was improve the economic vitality. And it's not just me doing it, it's a whole community. And Supervisor Teixeira is directing these people to say, hey, help these people out and allow them to do it. So I'm really proud of the team effort that we're putting in. So this will just address Front Street from basically the little bridge here that was just right around the same as it was last year. So depending on the credits that we get back, whether it's under budget or below budget, it could again have a zero cost to us. But right now, it's right around $9,000, which is what we currently budget for anyways.
And what was that number again, sir? I'm sorry. To
say again?
What was that?
How many acre feet?
How much?
188 acre feet of surplus water.
Thank you.
So these sporadic rains that we had, even though they weren't the deluge that you experienced before, has been allowed us to maintain our water and storage and limit our usage. So I'll be coming to you on 5/23 with an approval to accept that surplus water and have it in our banks to decide what we want to do with it. Should we have an exceptionally hot summer, or if Roy Granny needs additional water, then we can discuss it at that time. Starting today, field staff is attending a two-day training thing on water treatment. It's a very intense two-day deal, but as our commitment to education, we're sending our guys out there so that they're going to be the most current. On May 15th, in conjunction with the Sand District, Arroyo Grande, Grover Beach, we are going to host a training event put on by the Sand District here in our boardroom, and that'll run from 8 to 1. As you know, I'm involved in the JPA labor negotiations, and I have nothing to report at this time. Chief Aran has alluded to that he's looking at additional revenue sources. And he and I are working on that together, because we're not just looking for the JPA, but we're looking for additional revenue sources to target so we can start improving our infrastructure. And one of the first things that we're in discussion with is the off-the-road taxes that people pay to use the beach. And we've had one meeting with Supervisor Teixeira and county staff, and we're looking to have follow-up meetings, and we're going to include Grover and AG in that mix too, because all three of us end up supporting that. But we believe that it's a revenue source that rightfully should come to us at this time. The office team has been really working together and on the collections. In the past 2.5 weeks, they've raised close to $3,000 from dead and seriously delinquent files. And we've been getting checks, and I've reported to you before that we've put a full court press on anybody that gets foreclosed on for some nature. And we're narrowing it down to what would be our top three picks. But in review with both the auditors and staff, it makes more sense, instead of making that change at fiscal year, to do it actually at calendar year, because of the payroll issues that we would have to do. And I don't want to go through what we went through with AS400 and Tyler before, having two sets of payroll numbers and previous management overpaying, and then us getting the refunds. And then when we went through our audits, we ran into a couple issues there as well. So we'll be coming to you with possible choices. The goal is to knock that expense way down and to get something that's significantly more efficient to use and do things like allow us to make invoices, which we don't have the luxury of doing right now. So this will be coming to you probably closer to towards calendar year and not in fiscal year. A considerable amount of time has been working on the ballot initiative that one of our constituents brought to our attention, even though we were already working on it in the past and had an accurate calendar coming forward. I'd like to present to you the calendar of what we're going to do to complete the ballot initiative. And this has been worked with County Clerk Recorder, and Julie Rodewald and her staff have been very instrumental in providing guidance and making sure that we're placing the proper initiative. And you'll have to vote on this at a later point, but I wanted you at least to see the schedule. Yeah, it's a volunteer schedule, but I don't see a major problem why we can't meet it.
It's a draft.
It's an accelerated schedule.
It's accelerated schedule. It's not a draft. It's what we're going to work to.
Okay.
Did you put some of these on the tables?
Yeah, there's some on the table.
Okay, great.
Based on some of our closed session items, you know, the legal issues have been taking up some of our time. And then the other thing that was quite demanding time-wise was the NCMA release of their report. And not only did we were we reviewing the NCMA report, but our attorney, Henry Weinstock, also reviewed the NMMA report, which is the Napomo Mesa Group. And there was some contributions to anything at this point in time. We maybe can provide in-kind work or whatever, but at this point in time, I don't think we should be doing financial. I don't think it's in our charter to do so. So until we've got everything locked up, sealed, tight as a drum, we didn't have anything budgeted for that, so I don't think it's a real deal. But I understand their pain because you have your funding taken away. You're trying to make it elsewhere. So I don't know if they got our name off a list or if any of you guys were just such good donors in the past that but their main deal is to clean creeks, and then they were also looking for people to adopt a beach and clean it up, but none of the beaches were in our area, and we take pretty good care of our beach here, so I don't it's up to you guys, so you'll get a copy of the letter in your Friday report. And that's all I have. I have public comment.
Thank you, Tom. Is there public comment on OCSD operations?
Yeah, there is public comment.
Okay.
Julie Tacker.
Ms. Tacker?
Are you sure?
What?
Well, let's see the answer now. Is
9C.
No, you said 10C.
No, we're on 9C.
Oh, are we?
Yeah, we went backwards.
Well, excuse me. Sorry.
Okay, so there's no public comment on 9C?
No, there's nothing on 9C.
All right, let's go to item 9D, then report of Board of Directors and outside committees. I'll start. I did attend the Sanitation District last Wednesday. The most important discussion that came out of that is that the date lockdown for the Water Recycling Forum Symposium is June 7th, 6 to 9 p.m. at the South County Regional Center. That's 800 West Branch Street in Arroyo Grande. We do have a flyer I will be providing to the district here to post and to post to the website. Again, that is June 7th. There's a lot of issues with the recycling water. I think we're going to see a lot of groups there. The surf riders have advised me that they're going to go. I've heard that Sierra Club's going to go. The farmers are expected to be there. So there's going to be quite a lot of people weighing in to this debate. And so I look forward to it, and hopefully we can use it to preserve some of our assets. There were some closed item sessions, obviously, as we discussed last time. I can't discuss those at this time, but that was it. That was the only committee that I attended. Director Hurdle?
Yes, I attended a meeting. Yes, no money to actually implement that plan. But it is my hope that this year, along with the survey that the county is taking and the input that they want from the community, that we can work these two together. They're running parallel. So with the renderings that come from this and what the community puts in, if it matches up, we can get something done this time. And as far as what came out of the meeting yesterday, it was basically, again, acquainted and to find out who the people in the community are, to contact the groups of the people that are going to be coming out from the county. And they will be here in June. They'll be here June 12th through June 14th. And they would like to have this also a community event. They will be meeting here in this space doing work, but they also want to meet with the community at this time and walk around the community with residents and hear what residents have to say about what it is they'd like to see happen here, and they're going to take those things into consideration as they put together their renderings, which I think is wonderful. And we talked about sidewalks on Front Street, on the west side of Front Street, trees, crosswalks, sidewalks perhaps on Ocean Street and Paso Robles Street, and perhaps even taking that lot on 15th Street where we staged for the cleanup and making that a parking lot, because this is like a business, the revitalization. And if we can get parking down there along Front Street where those buildings are, it's going to be more accommodating for businesses. And this is very exciting to me.
Especially the melodrama.
Yes, exactly. So I would like to see as many people as possible attend these meetings, because we are getting the support from the county and Supervisor Teixeira, and this is an opportunity for us to really get something done here. So please, I encourage you to come out and participate in this, because this is a very exciting time for us, and I'd like to see it just, you know, turn out really well.
Selma, can you repeat the dates and the times and the locations?
The first time they're going to be here is June 12th through the 14th. And they're also coming.
What time?
Excuse me. They'll be here all day.
9 to 5, or
yeah.
Okay. We'll have the schedule posted on the website.
And even into
the Pacific Plan too, and then it just collected dust from there. But so.
Yeah, this time it's.
So it's the 12th, 13th, and 14th. And for people who don't have internet access, they can call the district and see what time.
Yes.
Now, is this the consultants that are coming up with the plan, or is it Public Works?
It's Public Works and Caltrans.
Okay.
Yeah, and they'll also be here once again in July, and they'll be here from July 10th through July 12th.
Okay.
And we will be putting out notices and newsletters and all the things that they kind of, they want it to be a festive and exciting event for the community. Music, entertainment, and we'll be working to get that done.
At a barbecue, we'll be there.
And that's the end of my report.
All right, thank you, Director Hurdle. Director Angelo, do you have any?
I don't think I have anything to report.
Okay.
We went to RAC.
Oh, you want to report that, or Mary?
Go ahead. It was fun as usual.
Well, I got to see the Hunger Games. It was pretty good. No, Lori and I attended a very long, long RAC meeting, Water Resource Advisory Committee, that is chaired by Mr. Nguyen and editorialized by him as well, too. It was not an agenda that was expected to be made through in any amount of time. There was just too many things on the agenda. It was too packed, too many people, too many issues, and it was just poorly planned out, in my humble opinion. So they reviewed their bylaws. At that point, they had already made two motions to extend the meeting. Lori and I were fried, literally physically exhausted by that point, so we had nothing to say about their bylaws. There was some heated debate on the Los Osos wastewater project. People claiming that they didn't know the plan. Public Works came in and said that they were aware of the plan, and it got a little testy. And then, of course, the June 7th potable water forum that's happening up at the Resource Center. And then Lori and I, we had talked at the board about trying to find out some history regarding the Sogren, trying to set up a meeting with him to get a little bit more of a history there. The one thing that I did take notice to is that there is Public Works is looking at pockets of money that haven't been totally utilized and helping out other geographic areas. So once I got a clear explanation of the budget they had handed us, then we were able to figure out that that's what it was. So they are, you know, some unspent funds here, unspent funds there, helping out other areas. And the one area that will be helped out is the Zone 111A
area with their projects of trying to clean down to the 22nd Street Bridge, you know, clean up the creek and things like that. So they're planning on borrowing from Peter to help Paul until Zone 11A can get some money in. So after that, Lori hasn't spoke to me since we went to that meeting. But we are going to need a letter from the board saying that she is appointed to the RAC committee.
Okay.
Okay.
Should we direct staff then to send a letter to the Zone 11A or to the RAC?
Not to Zone 11A.
Excuse me, I corrected myself, to the RAC.
You send it to the RAC, and RAC would send it to the Board of Supes, and the Board of Supes say yes, no, okay, you can go. And then, so then she'd be able to vote. I don't know if she'll ever speak to me again after that, but it was really a grueling, grueling meeting.
I've been to one before, and it hadn't changed much. There's just not any anything moving. It's just like, here's the information, and there's no rhyme or reason as to where it goes off to. There's no control over what's going on. And trying to figure out what they're talking about, because they jump from subject to subject and back and forth, and then they're fighting, and it's a lot of wasted time.
And the chair, he has to comment on everything. Everything.
Well, so, speaking of comment on everything, I left off one very important thing. When I did my Friday report, I hadn't got a report back from the county, but I got it after the Friday report was already published on the website. And I'd like to let everybody know in the community of Oceano that we have a little over $700,000 in the public checking account, and we just had a property tax sweep, and we're still with the paying of the disbursements. I think we have one invoice for $100 that didn't make the cut. So everybody's paid, and we have this amount of money in cash. So
well,
I think Oceano, as a community, and you as a board, should be very proud of the accomplishments that we've done in the last 10 months, and I really appreciate
it. Thank you so much.
Thank you for being a great leader.
This has probably been the most coercive bunch of people on this community for several years, and it feels so good to be able to, you know, talk to everybody, and you know, whether we agree or disagree, it works out.
Yeah.
And it's just so much nicer.
It is much more comfortable than before.
Sorry to interrupt.
No,
that's fine.
I was thinking I had like a little side comment when listening to Director Angelos and Lucy talk about the RAC and going on and on and on, and it reminds me of some of the meetings you've described. But I think what they need is some, like Dave Matthews, so some private sector guys to go in and say, okay, let's get on with business, figure out what we're trying to accomplish, and then let's go home. And so, just a thought.
Well, you know, and that's why, you know, I think they intentionally put the bylaws at the end of that meeting so they could just cram them down our throats so we wouldn't say anything. But the next time, I'm going to demand that they put times next to their agenda items, because it was horrible.
Well, I'm glad you guys are going to that.
Oh, yes.
Thank you, Matt.
Is there any public comment on the report of outside committees or
directors? No, there's not.
Okay. Let's move on to agenda item number 10E. I think that's the next one in line. Discuss and review the NCMA report, which was posted on the website. I did have a chance to review it, but Manager Giesel.
As I explained in my earlier report, this has been an ongoing process for about, I want to say, 2.5 months since we started mowing? About 2.5 months. And there was a lot of pushing and shoving, and when we got the final report, our attorney, Henry Weinstock, pushed back with a couple of very key comments. And at first, I didn't know what to take of it, so I took the liberty of calling him and sitting down with him for about a half hour. And what we all need to remember about this report is that it's a court-stipulated document that we need to produce that has to give information, but it also has to defend our position in the lawsuit. And what has evolved, down in front of the train and, you know, kicked and screamed, and along with our attorney down south, and said, no, we need certain language changed, and the language was changed to some extent. And then the technical group wanted to soften it a little bit because in some ways, they're working to get things done, right? I will tell you this, that the NCMA reports far more data and far more water quality and water elevation levels because we took the time and made the investment so that we know where we stand with our water because it's our most critical resource. Other groups don't do that. But at the same time, the purpose of that NCMA is to provide documentation that keeps us to defend our lawsuit. And it's gotten away from that. So we got overrun, but we are going to work to continue to bring that focus back into what they do in their annual report. One other thing that was pointed out was that the saltwater intrusion report of 2009 was not just an isolated event. There was actually a report that came out in 1970 based on data that was taken in 1967-68 that showed one of the wells had a signature characteristics of saltwater intrusion. And the irony of the whole thing was when you read the abstract, it's very similar to what we pointed out way back when. But the problem I have in what council had was it's the 11th hour, and we're pushing back that you need to change some of the language in the saltwater intrusion, and then somebody produces this report from 1970, and the report is accurate, and we've verified it, and two board members have reviewed it with me since we got it, but there was another incident of it way back when. Now, in 1967, 40. I was in the fifth grade and lived in Napomo and, you know, didn't know what the heck saltwater intrusion was. But if you think back and all you people watching on TV, what happened when that thing came into play? Was everybody jumped on the bandwagon, and I believe rightfully so, to get Lopez Dam built so we could start storing water and recharging our water. So, you know, the air starting to counter back. But our whole strategy on the NCMA is going to change, and we are going to change in the fact that we're going to keep monitoring like we do, try and get our other people that we have to deal with to continue their monitoring at the same level, report at the same time so we get great data correlations. But we are going to make sure that report addresses the defense of the lawsuit. And that's what I have, and I'm open for questions.
Well, Tom, so if we're allocated 900 acre feet of groundwater per year to the Oceano area and we're not pumping nearly that, I mean, maybe 50 acre feet a year or something like that.
It's closer to 30.
Okay, 30 acre feet. So it doesn't roll over till the next year. It's a use it or lose it situation. So Oceano is contributing 870 acre feet of water towards keeping our groundwater healthier. And we have neighbors and others who are pumping as fast as we're holding back. So how does it balance out? Because that's a loss to us in Oceano.
It is a loss, but you have to look at the bigger picture. We're trying to execute a conserving water management plan, and because we already pay, just use $1,500 an acre foot for Lopez water and state water, and we write checks to it every time, it's same thing. We're not allowed to. The Lopez water, there's a little bit of banking with the reserve,
right,
or the surplus water, but with the we pay for that whether we use it or we don't.
Well,
so,
my question,
and I understand your point, and that's the key point of the lawsuit. If our friends in the north, or is up on the deck, as you put it, or up on the hill, continue to pump, and we just sit idly by and not do anything, we're in a position where we could use it or lose it.
Because we're already losing it because we're not pumping it. We're not using it. We're not selling it. We're, you know.
Well,
we're
some,
not doing
some of that water
with
is
it.
Actually staying stored in the ground.
Hmm.
And there's tons of evidence that supports that.
So if we go back and say, okay.
And I'm by no means a hydrologist, and I may say something here that could flat be wrong, which I think
well, somebody
might be the
will point it out.
The third time in my life.
Judgment tonight.
Yeah. But, you know, we're trying to be good citizens by practicing the best water management possible. And we've been able to benefit from that water management as well. But at the same time, as counsel pointed out to me, your exact statement, if you don't use it, then they say you're not using it, so you're not entitled to it. So that's changed our focus. And whether we just go out and pump tomorrow, I think that would be totally irresponsible. But we need to kind of bring that to the forefront because the majority of this came about because of that lawsuit. Mm-hmm. And if we can't defend ourselves, then we're making a very grave error. And so that's a tone I'm going to bring back to the NCMA.
Right. And so has the Northern Cities considered putting together a best practices?
Yeah, we're all executing. Everybody's cut back on their pumping.
Everybody.
Some haven't done as much as we have, but everybody has cut back.
And that's on the honor system, right?
Right, but we get those reports all the time. We share the data.
Yeah, and I read the reports, yeah. And I can see who's... I look at what month it is and how much water they have left, and I can tell that they're going to come out
and
like at 150%.
I know exactly where you're going with this, because you don't want to have happen to us what's happened to Pismo, where... they've been perceived to have lost some of their water, which is totally not true at all.
They haven't.
Right.
But they have to run around and do damage control where
right.
There's no damage. So
the point I'm bringing you now is the report went out. It's published on the website. It went to the courts. Council and I were very active in the pushback on a lot of key points. And we are continuing to monitor. With what I spent at the Santa Maria groundwater meeting, some of the stuff that I brought forward, they're going to try and initiate along with other stuff as I keep hammering on them. But, you know, that's where it's at, and I'm open to any other questions.
Well, I just have to say is that I think this is the most active Oceano has been with that group, because when all the farmers lawyered up on that groundwater, you know, Oceano was the only special service district, and so we really have been.
And I laid it next to the 2011 report. There's quite a bit of copy and paste of the same monitoring report that we're talking about. Okay, so that concerned me, and then the changes. It does say that you are experiencing seawater intrusion. You had a dirty well, and that has been cleaned up. This new 1970 data, I think that should be brought forward for the public to see if it was timed with the Lopez Dam, then it's also as suspicious as using this dirty well in 2009 for new state water. So you have virtually stopped pumping your groundwater if you're only using 30 acre feet. You're the buffer for a perceived problem, and you're not being compensated for it. And that's where the pushback should be. And I would hope that your board would ask for some compensation for that. Because as long as you're not going to use it, before long, it will be divvied up somewhere else, or it will never be allowed to be used, and your community might look like mine, where we have halted development because we don't have water, or other, like Cambria. And you're going to be cutting your own throat if you let this continue to happen. Your next item, you're going to talk about a ballot measure where the citizens want a say in whether or not you sell water. What's happening here is that your water's being managed away from you. So I think you should all maybe even take this to more of a workshop level where you tear apart the document and raise your concerns and not just take it on its face tonight. This is serious what's facing your community. This is your largest asset as a district. That groundwater basin, that groundwater allocation is the largest asset that your district has. So I would expect, and your citizens, I'm sure, expect you to protect it.
Is there any other?
You had an issue where your previous management had attempted to sell some of your water on a permanent basis to the city of Pismo Beach, and concerned citizens of Oceano felt that the board wasn't, that the fact that the board would even consider that was not a valid argument, and they're, to make sure that it didn't happen again, they brought a ballot initiative forward. And they got the right amount of signatures, and the signatures were verified. And even though this board took the approach that we're not going to sell permanent water, that we're only going to do temporary water sales in the future, so we can control our contract and protect our water supply, the ballot or the petition became, some would say, moot because, you know, the board did the right thing, or in the eyes of the majority of the people. The problem was, because they took it to a petition, the voice of the people needed to be heard, and so we had to generate a ballot. And then we've had discussions in the past whether we should just, you know, because this is going to cost some money, should we just, you know, challenge it on its merits now? And we got pushback from the court saying that the voice of the people must be heard, and then you have the ability to challenge later. So with that, we've been working with county recorder, drafting the stuff per the petition, and I need your approval to allow this ballot initiative to go forward to the schedule that I presented you during my OCSD report.
Is there any public comment on this?
Julie Tacker.
Barbara Mann also raised her hand.
Oh, Barbara Mann. Okay.
Julie Tacker. Are you asking that the board accept this resolution and that this is the verbiage that's going on the ballot? I thought that's what the agenda said. But Mr. Gieselin is saying that he wants the schedule approved.
No, that is what I said.
The schedule is per code. This is just the county recorder requested that if we could do it ahead of time.
That they should have the right to comment on it or be here, and they're not. I don't see some of the people that signed the petition, I would have thought, would be here to speak to it. And then Mr. Gieselin spoke about litigating it in the future. Is that the intent of this board, or maybe a subsequent board? Would they then challenge the language after it passes, if it passes? And I think you need to be upfront with your constituents to what your intent is, should it pass.
Is there any other public comment, Manager Gieselin?
Barbara.
Just to remind those on television who are watching this and this board, the people of Oceano wanted to be sure that this would go on the ballot before selling water. You have a great board right now, but how do you know what you're going to have in November or in another 4 years after that? I think the people of Oceano care about their water. We're more concerned. We're not really interested in what people from other areas They should worry about their own water problems and let us deal with ours. But I just want to remind you that the people got out and signed to do this. It was because our water was about to be sold in a very sneaky way. And I would hate to see that ever happen again. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Barbara. Thank you. Is there any other public comment tonight, Manager Giesel?
No.
Okay. And for the record, I'll read it in. This is a resolution calling for the placement of an initiative measure requiring that an election shall be held prior to the sale of water on a permanent basis. There are some whereases that have to do with the elections codes, basically which state that the Board of Directors has decided to submit to the board, to the voters of Oceano, the question as to whether to require an election before making the sale of water on any permanent basis. This would be placed on the November 6th, 2012 general election as ballot. And it basically reads Oceano Community Services District Ordinance Number, and there's a blank. The question is, must an election be held prior? This is available. This resolution is available on our website if anybody wants to view it or download it, and it is available here tonight. So with that, is there any board comment regarding this resolution?
Does legal counsel have something she'd like to add?
I'm going to forestall questions about the language. If you had any, that this is all per code. We are limited to, it's got to be verbatim what the petition was. So we don't have any margin or any space to change the language or to modify it. This is just the resolution that you have to do. You are required to put it on the ballot by law.
And what's the cost attached to that?
The county recorder estimated it would be between $3,500 and $5,000.
Okay. When this first came up, not when it first came up, but when the petition went around the community and it was signed and it was brought back and the board did what the board did, right, they had the choice of either making a motion and adopting it into the bylaws for OCSD, right?
As an ordinance.
As an ordinance. And then it would not have to be put on the ballot. At that time, the board president would not put it on the agenda nor let the 30 days lapse. And so we were forced to go to the ballot. So the only thing I would like to do is be able to play with, not play with, but be able to clean or the language, you know, a little bit. But since we have to do it exactly as the petition said, we're not going to be able to do that. I just don't want people to get confused when they go in to vote. I want people to be very clear, you know, that it's not one of those, you mean no, but you got to vote yes. You know, all of us get trapped
there
by that stuff.
There will be statements. The county council will draft a statement. The signers of the petition, the people who initiated the petition will have an opportunity to draft a statement.
So would the board be able to draft a statement?
Yes. Explaining and explaining.
Yeah, for clarification.
Position. Yeah.
I think that might be a good thing.
But the ordinance itself has to be word for word,
right,
as stated on the petition.
And then
it's
the
that
board
or nothing.
And then the board can draft a statement that.
But I can't. But I think on this you can. I will double check.
Okay. Is there any more board discussion? Or any further, I should say.
The authors, do they, what, I'm looking at the list of authors and more than 30% don't even live here anymore.
It's the authors who are entitled to draft a statement in favor of the petition. There's
okay.
No provision that anybody else can, so it would, whoever is still here of the authors that wants to draft a statement in favor may do so.
Okay.
I think Bill was removing.
I believe I need a motion.
Go ahead,
Big Daddy.
I'll make a motion to approve Oceano Community Service District Resolution Number 2012-03 as presented this evening.
I second the motion.
All right, let's have a roll call vote.
President Guerrero?
Yes.
Director Hurdle?
Yes.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
Vice President Lucy?
Yes.
Motion carries 4-0. Moving on to the next item, item number 11A, will serve letter APN 061-041-016, OCSD project number 6425, owner project Midstate Properties for the lot split. Manager Gieselin, is there a staff
report? Basically we'd already issued this permit, and we're just reapproving the issue of just for the lot split. There's no planning activity on there with the exception of the map that you received at the back, and so I'm just looking for approval.
Yeah. Is there any public? Oh.
Why did we table this last time? I remember we tabled this last time.
No, we tabled
a different one?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is there any public comment on this, Manager Gieselin?
None at this time. All right.
Any further board discussion? All right. I'll entertain a motion then.
Well, I'm not a gentleman, so.
What? You're not a gentleman?
I move that we accept this as agenda item, will serve APN 061.
Last time, I promise. Tonight. I'm kind of looking for some items on your agendas, and they don't seem to be coming up. One of them being your proposed budget. It's definitely budget time. We're way past budget time. We should be seeing those so that they can be adopted by the end of June. It's nice to hear about audits on their way. March 3rd, I think it was, your board had a workshop on bylaws and Freedom of Information Act, and the Freedom of Information Act portion of it was continued to no date certain, and I'd like to see that come back. And then bylaw number 13 says that you will be evaluating the legal and engineering services in May or June. So those items I'm also looking for in upcoming agenda items. And that's it. Oh, you know, I don't know when Mr. Wallace said he wasn't going to be able to make it to tonight's meeting, but if that information had been some lead time, I might not have come at all. So,
Neither would have I. I know, I was disappointed also.
Yeah, so I don't know how early you knew that, but it would have been good to post that.
It was confirmed at 2:30 in the afternoon.
Yeah, I spoke with him this afternoon. It was after lunch time. So, is there any other public comment, Barbara?
There's no more listed.
Okay, board member discussion, item number 14. Director Lucy, you always have a...
What, number 14?
Yeah, 14, board member discussion.
I don't have anything to say. I already yacked already.
Okay, let's go to the other end. Director Angelo, is there any comment you'd like to make this evening?
No.
And Director Hurdle?
Yeah, I'd like to know where we are in the process of the fireworks.
Contracts?
Yeah, the contracts.
Legal or illegal?
the illegal ones go on all year long.
Everything State has mom, came gone. In. There might be a couple that are waiting on their temporary seller's permit, but all the checks and all the money is in.
Okay, great.
And we're ready to go. They're waiting for the Five Cities Fire Authority to do.
The changes since, let me back up, the changes since May 31st. June was a pretty tough month for us, but the changes since that time have just been really...
getting better.
Yeah.
Makes my heart swell.
Yeah. I'd like to say this is my year on the board. This is 1 year today.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, happy birthday.
Yeah. I'm not as scared as I used to be. I'm nervous.
We'll bring cake next year on the third. What day is today? May 9th. Things. I really appreciate the service at the beginning of the day and at the end of the day. We're a small water company that's here to protect our assets and to protect the community of Oceano. And it's not sensational. It's not sexy. Lots of times, ever. But I really appreciate the service that you guys do. Thank you to the staff.
Thank you.
Those guys back there too.
Yeah, and those gentlemen back there that make it happen. You know, I've been driving around on the weekends and seeing you guys with your in a hole somewhere.
Yeah.
I think better them than me, but it's a different. There has been a small discussion. If anybody's been to the sanitation district, there's a gentleman there named Trini, mm-hmm. and he keeps having to do these overnight 24-hour shifts. And I kept telling him that it's got to be something. They got to buy him breakfast. So if you do 24-hour shifts. Let me know. I'll buy you breakfast somewhere. Right?
I just did one.
Did you?
Where's my breakfast?
item number 15, board member items for the next board meeting agenda. For me, I think we've already covered a lot of the issues with the audits. That's a big thing. It's a big thing for our community. I don't want to end up 4 years behind. So that's the big issue for myself as well. Mary?
Just to let everybody know, remember, it's election year, so Oceano will be having 3 board seats up for election. The seat that I hold, Mr. Searcy's seat, and Mr. Guerrero's seat. So we're definitely hoping that other people will step forward. It's a lot of time, but it's a good thing to do.
Didn't we get something from County Recorder said it was 4 seats were up?
No, they're wrong.
No. I think maybe if Director Hurdle's seat might.
No.
Marie, didn't we get some?
We did get a notice that had Felma's name on there too. So I think we need to do some checking on that.
I think
you might want to check. I think it might be correct because she was appointed. She might need to be.
And then she resigned. So Felma's, since it was more than. For over 50% of the time left on the seat.
We'll verify. We just got the letter this last Friday.
Okay. Yeah.
We'll verify.
3 or 4 seats are up for a
So hopefully this board, whatever happens in November, still continues to work together.
Okay, guys.
With whomever is on it. Is there any other meeting? Any other? I must be getting tired. Any other items for the next board meeting from the board? Nope. Hearing none. Item number 16, written communications. Mr. Giesel?
Nobody wrote to you?
I already went and gave you mine.
Okay. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
No, I have one more thing. I'd like to say that the Oceano Advisor Committee is planning to have candidates night once again.
Oh, okay.
Great.
Yes, and so we'll be putting out time and place when it gets closer to election.
And let's not forget Hobo Night, too.
That's right.
Hobo Day.
Hobo Night.
May 19th, 2 o'clock at the depot.
Unfortunately, I'm out of town that day.
Be there or be on the rails.
Yes, but I hope everybody is there. Is there a motion to adjourn?
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
I have a second.
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
It's 9 o'clock. Have a good night, everybody.
Bingo.